Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show.
My guest today is Reiner Lahm. Reiner is the founder of an executive coaching firm specializing in leadership and career development, innovation, and transformational change. His mission is to mobilize and develop leaders to create a more sustainable and positive future for all. Reiner works with leaders and change makers in a wide range of organizations, from startups, multinational companies, nonprofits, and local communities. Thanks so much for joining me today, Reiner.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Diane.
It's great to have you here. We're going to be talking about the seven essential emotions for leading positive change. And I'd like to start by asking you to, you know, give us the, you know, the foundation of this, like what, which emotions, why those emotions, why'd you choose them?
Yeah. So first of all, let me a little bit back up and go one step back in terms of why at all I have been thinking about emotions. I have been a leader myself in starting businesses both as an intrapreneur and an entrepreneur, and have been leading people and leading and growing organizations locally and globally, but mostly globally. And in my early days as a leader, I learned a lot about leadership that's focused on the behaviors of a leader. So how do you have to behave on a leader? And I have observed that many people have not really, they learned these behaviors, but they really did not apply them. And as I, you know, later years, I went into executive coaching and leadership development myself and have been training leaders around the world. I try to understand better why doesn't it really stick, all the learning that people do. They go, let's say, to expensive trainings and workshops, and on a Friday afternoon, they leave the workshop and they're all hooray and they go planning to do what they learned. And Monday morning, they forget, they have it all forgotten, or they didn't get to it, or they didn't, you know, change their behaviors. And so our behaviors are driven by multiple things. We are multiple dimensional beings, you know, by our physical state, by our thoughts and language, so more the intellectual or rational side. But the other dimension which drives behavior more than anything else, and maybe even stronger than anything else, research points in that direction, are emotions. And people in both in the educational system and in the traditionally and in the corporate world have avoided emotions as a domain or dimension of learning for a human being and for leaders particularly. And I have been diving into that over the last 25 years, more and more so, and specifically as a coach, and found this as one of the biggest opportunities for transformational change for a leader, and actually leading change in organizations and outside of organizations. So that's really the why. So I found it so powerful for myself, applying emotions, and then also in coaching others. The one thing that emotions is a very complicated, a complex a domain, because there's more than 250 emotions, and we might feel a mixture of a subset of that at any given time. We might not be aware of it. Mostly it drives our behaviors, but it becomes very complex to learn, almost like a language, right? Kind of learning a language, it can be very complicated because of so many words and sentences and structures and things like that. So emotions are very similar in that regard. So I tried to boil it down to what are the key leadership behaviors specifically for leading change, and particularly positive change, aspirational change, and what are the emotions that drive those leadership behaviors? And so that's kind of the background of those seven essential emotions. Now, if I start with the behavioral side and then drive and talk about what drives those behaviors. So first of all, a leader and all seven from, it's kind of built like a pyramid from the bottom up. It's kind of a leader needs to care. A leader that doesn't care is not being trusted. And non-caring organizations are not performing very well compared to caring organizations. On top of that, a leader needs not only to care, but also be committed to serve. He needs to serve the stakeholders, the employees, the clients. That willingness and that commitment to serving, the servant leadership, is very critical. And on top of that, a leader needs also to understand what he's talking about, needs to understand the clients, the solutions they're providing, you know, when organization is innovating to find solutions to problems, needs to really understand, you know, if you want to transform the healthcare system or the educational system, the leader needs to understand those systems and what are possible, you know, better alternatives and so on. So this is really the foundation in terms of behaviors. But what drives those behaviors is like caring is driven by empathy, particularly emotional empathy, which means that you can feel what another, you resonate with the feeling of another person. So that drives caring. On top of that, you might care, but it does not lead to action yet. So in order to act, you need to be committed to serve the needs of the people. And that requires compassion. Compassion is the commitment to serve. It's kind of a simplified definition of it, but that's basically, in a nutshell, what compassion is, that somebody acts on their empathy, on their caring. And last but not least of those three behaviors, in terms of understanding is driven by interest. Interest makes you explore an area, dive deeper into it, try to understand it in an ongoing way, not just like curiosity, which, you know, you're curious and you find the answer to something and then your attention goes to something else. No, with interest, you stay on this topic to try to understand it deeper and broader, and it's more sustained attention to an issue. So those three basically, these are pairs of behaviors and emotions that that build the foundation of that, of those seven essential emotions and leadership behaviors. Now, on top of that is like if a leader really understands an issue and he cares about it and he's committed to serve, then the next question is, how does that leader want the future to look like differently? So it's kind of, he needs to be able to envision a different future. And that is only possible if he is in an emotional state that allows him to think about the future. And that emotion is optimism. Now, if as an alternative, if the leader is in an emotional state that pulls him back, like resentment as an example, it's kind of like it takes the energy in something that happened in the past, then the leader is not able to think very well about the future and come up with a positive vision or an aspirational vision for the future. So that goes along as a pair, visioning and optimism as the emotion that drives it. Now, when you have a vision of a future that you want to create, the question is then to mobilize people to help you create that vision, to make it a reality. And that emotion is inspiration. Now, many companies are not using inspiration. They're using more the traditional carrot and stick method, right? You get rewarded, you know, with money or benefits or bonus or whatever. And if you're not performing well or so well, or you don't meet your goals, then you get somehow punished, a low rating or a warning or whatever. But that is not a sustainable driver of performance. Inspiration works much, much better. It's more sustainable and it's an emotion that really makes you want to perform well and create the vision. So that's the other pair. Mobilizing is achieved through inspiration, through leader. And now when you have mobilized people, the question is then, you know, how do you coordinate effective action? And that requires collaboration. In order to foster collaboration, the emotion that is required among the people and also between the leader and his team or her team, that's trust. Without trust, collaboration becomes almost impossible. And I would say that's one of the more complex emotions that I have studied ever. And so it has multiple dimensions, but we can go into that a little bit later, because that's important to understand for developing trust, what are all the different dimensions and types of trust that can be built. Now, on top of trust, like if now the leader is able to come up with plans and he creates, coordinates effective actions towards the future, things still might go wrong. You know, like we had this pandemic, many businesses suddenly were faced with backslashes, and there's other things like, you know, the Ukraine war right now with the gas prices, energy prices going up, that affects businesses and personal lives as well. And things like that happen, and they happen all the time. So when that happens, the leader must be resilient. And that's a behavior to not break down, but to stand up and overcome those adversities. And research has shown that the emotions that help you to be resilient is a whole palette of positive emotions. I lumped them together into positivity in this model, but it could be any of the positive emotions like hope, gratefulness, joy, that a leader can cultivate in himself or herself, but also needs to cultivate in the people he or she is leading. And so that's basically the seventh state, emotional state, that completes that pyramid.
That's awesome. Thank you. And now a word from our sponsor.
Hey friends, this is Jim Knight, former 21-year Hard Rock executive turned best-selling author and top 10 keynote speaker.
And I'm Brant Menswar, former frontman of Hollywood's most dangerous band turned top 10 motivational speaker and best-selling author.
We host the how-to podcast Thoughts That Rock, where we talk to rock stars, athletes, CEOs, astronauts, and even next-door neighbors who share their expertise and opinions. Together, we tackle the most interesting and challenging topics of today.
Whether you want to learn how to become more confident, how to deal with anxiety at work,
or how to write a hit song, or use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in life,
we've got hundreds of episodes to help amp up your life and move you forward.
Subscribe to Thoughts That Rock wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out evergreenpodcast.com for more information.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.
Somebody isn't showing up when they're supposed to? Talk to Bambi. Unsure how to deal with remote workers changing locations? Talk to Bambi. Getting complaints from employees about each other? You know what? You better talk to Bambi. With Bambi, you get access to your own dedicated HR manager. These HR managers are all US-based and are dedicated to your business. So you have consistent access to the HR expertise and personal touch you need. They're available by phone, email, and real-time chat, so onboarding and terminations run smoothly. Team members reach peak performance, and your business stays compliant with changing HR regulations. And with Bambi's HR Autopilot, you'll automate important HR practices like setting policies, training, and feedback. Bambi helps small business owners protect their business and gain HR peace of mind. HR issues are more complex than ever. Let Bambi help you with yours. And with those employment nuisances across all 50 states, HR managers can easily cost $80,000 a year. But Bambi starts at only $99 a month. So what are you waiting for? Schedule your free conversation today to see how much Bambi can take off your plate.
Go to Bambi.com right now and type in AYBG under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Spelled BAMBEE.com, BAMBEE.com, and type in AYBG.
You say, you know, people can change their emotions. I think that's sort of a new idea for people. So can you share some about, you know, how that's possible?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Diane. Thank you for asking that, because the conventional wisdom is that emotions are just like automatic. They happen to us. You know, for example, somebody says, oh, I just get angry if I see something that I don't like and I can't help it, or other emotions coming up, maybe less visible, like resentment is an emotion that's less visible. Anger is one that's very visible. And I can't help it, it's automatic. But research has shown that we can learn emotions, and we can learn specifically, I call it shifting emotions. So what I mean with that is that when you need a specific leadership behavior in a specific situation, I explained, for example, when the leader is tasked with creating a new vision for the team or for the company, for the business or for the organizations, And to be a visionary leader in this moment, it requires optimism. But let's say if that leader is in a state of pessimism, and I can give you many examples of that, or resignation is the worst, right, kind of state, then you totally give up, then that leader is not possible to create a positive vision of the future, to imagine an aspirational new future that improves people's life in that domain that this organization is working. So I'll give you an example. If a leader is in resentment, which I have coached, it's a quite common, that is the emotion that is associated with victimhood, that like somebody did something to me, I'm a victim of that, and that is not fair. So this is the story that goes through the leader's head, or any can happen to any person, it happens every day. Then that person ruminates constantly, repeatedly on that unfairness that happened to them. And they say, I want to make it right. I want to make it fair. You know, it might lead to revenge or to some other behavior, but it is always a more that pulls the whole energy of the mental energy of the person backward and keeps them in the past rather than moving in the future. So this is an example where I need to get people out of resentment by when I coach them, or they need to learn it to do themselves. And what I found very useful here is with that particular emotion, and that's true for other emotions as well, but it's a different technique than here, that the person needs to shift to acceptance first. They cannot shift from resentment to becoming optimistic, to that future-oriented emotion. They need to have an intermediate step, which is acceptance. Now, we know that from grieving processes, for example, or other major losses, you know, when somebody loses a job, or, you know, there's a company restructuring, mergers and acquisitions, you know, things that happen in business all the time, people are suddenly hit in the face, in speaking in images here, and suddenly they slip into resentment. That shouldn't happen to me, and they stay in that, and they cannot move forward. They cannot see new possibilities for themselves as long as they stay there. So they need to move to acceptance first. Acceptance doesn't mean here, this is an emotion that is associated with the story that's saying, I know this happened and I cannot change it. It happened in the past, because it happened in the past, I cannot change, it's already done, okay? So I lost my job, or I lost the person that I'm, you know, that I love or I'm close to, or something else happened to me, I had an accident, I cannot change it back. Accepting that it has happened in the past, even if I don't like it. I don't have to like it, I don't need to fall in love with what happened, but I have to accept it and be in that emotional state. Now, with that emotional state, in that emotional state of acceptance, suddenly new possibilities open up, and the person can easier, it's an easier step to move to a more future-oriented emotion, such as hope. That would be also an intermediate step, but ideally optimism, to see new possibilities for the future.
I got it. Those are great. Thank you for sharing those. That those are really, really great examples. Now, if someone's listening and they're thinking to themselves, okay, I get it, makes sense, and I'm curious about, you know, like where I would start in identifying the emotions I'm actually feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some sort of process that they can walk themselves through?
Yeah, this is a very good question. And this is, this goes into the area of self-awareness. Huh?
Yeah.
Because it's, and this is one of the, unfortunately, one of the things I have observed that we don't, some people learn it, some people have learned it, but the majority of people have not learned to become self-aware. They become more self-aware of their thoughts, because that's where we get feedback all the time on, right? So the thoughts we speak out consciously, something we speak out, and then people maybe give feedback and say, this is what you said, and then there's a conversation about it. So we become a little bit more aware of that, or we become more aware of our external actions, something that's observable in culture, like we see how people behave differently from us, things like that. But the emotion is really under the surface. So we have to listen to ourselves. Listen means we have to become self-aware in terms, and it shows up, emotions show up in the body. No, they show up like, so if, for example, if we have a loss and we are sad and we grieve and so on, we might feel a tension in the body around the heart, right? Or we might, if we are anxious, or even get to a point of like panic and things like that, our body might shake, or we might just it shows into different parts of the body. So becoming aware of our body and how things feel, and then making that translation, what possibly could I feel? Because it's very hard to put language to emotions. It's kind of something that we can learn. So the first step is really feeling it, becoming aware. It takes time to maybe calm down and be calm, right? When we get angry, the moment the person is angry, you know, I don't know if you ever heard, if you say somebody, oh, you're angry, and the person shouts back and say, I'm not angry. But the person is angry, but the person is the last one that is becomes aware of it. Huh? But if the person calms down later, you might say, yeah, actually, I was angry. Now the person can figure out, why was I angry? Maybe an important value has been violated in this moment. Maybe that person saw a child being hurt, or an animal being cruelly treated, or things like that, and say, oh, this is why I was angry. So learning to become aware of the emotions is the first step. And in the book, in Aspire, I have, for each of the emotions, I have practices how to become aware of them, but also to become aware of your own emotions, but also become aware and empathize with others so that you can put yourself into the shoes. How is the other person feeling? Because that's also very important as a leader, because as a leader, it starts with self-leadership. So become self-aware and shift your own emotions so you can change your behavior. But then also getting a sense for, in order to change the behavior of the people I lead, or the people I want to influence positively, what is the emotional shift I need to create, help to create for the other person? So for example, saying if I feel another person, collaboration is not working very well, the other person is not collaborating, and I find out that there's distrust from the other person towards me, or I have even distrust and I might fuel that lack of collaboration, then saying, how can I build trust? So that takes also awareness, your own emotions, but also then emotions of the other person. I'm in a relationship with, or I want to build a relationship, I want to influence positively.
Okay. Those are terrific. Terrific. And if there was one final takeaway you'd like the listeners, you know, like to leave with the listeners, what would that be?
Yeah, there's one of, you know, each of you, of your listeners, and I would say anybody from my experience can create positive change, can do it by influencing behavior or changing behavior of others, but starting with yourself. And you can change your behavior by shifting your emotions to the emotions that support, get shifting out of the emotions that prevent you from showing that behavior that you need to show as a leader, and shifting to the emotion in the specific leadership situation that you need in order to show that leadership behavior. And anybody can learn that. I want to inspire people to look at that.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, Reiner, thank you so much for taking this time. Will you let the listeners know how they can find you and your book?
Yeah, the book is on Amazon, in Amazon.com for the US, and in each countries where Amazon is available on that particular domain. It's Inspire, 7 Essential Emotions for Leading Positive Change, no matter where you are. You can reach me by going to my website, reinerlomp.com. And there you can contact me, but you also find more information about the type of services I provide and how I help the clients to become better leaders.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. As I said, I truly appreciate it. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.